it's hard to take a guy seriously when he's arguing in jeans and sandals. Like, your whole time you're just like, yeah, bro, I can't stop looking at your toes. I'm really sorry.
You need a pedicure.
You need to put some enclosed footwear on.
I think you
on.
Need to see a podiatrist because it looks like you have an ingrown.
I need you to treat this like a McDonald's playground and put some enclosed footwear on right now.
You're listening to Behind the Bays. I'm Star.
I'm Lockie Mack.
Lockie, I feel like there's been a bit of a miscommunication that's occurred today because we said we would dress in beachy vibes and you have taken that quite literally.
Yeah, look, we obviously had different interpretations of what beach theme was. I thought it was just what we wear to the beach, usually when it's a nice sunny day. For those listening, let me take you through the outfit. Pair of short, Buffalo Bill themed board shorts.
Stunning.
A quite tight rashie that is constricting a lot of my blood flow. A nice black Zogs swim cap, which is pulling my scalp back inch by inch, and a pair of incredibly tight goggles that are pushing my eyes further into my brain.
Are you sure this is what you wear at the beach? Because you look like you're going for gold in Butterfly at the swimming carnival.
Yeah, look, I've always been a big Ian Thorpe fan, so whenever I can replicate his look, I do that. So honestly, I think you look ridiculous. I feel absolutely at home right now.
How dare you wear normal clothes to the studio?
Yeah, like it's a beach theme and you didn't even wear sunscreen. I mean,
have you got some?
I actually did bring some sunscreen. Do you want a slip, slop, slap?
Slip, slop, slap.
A bit of slip, slop, slap.
Let's do it. Sunsafe queens. Hot girls wear sunscreen, don't they?
They do.
Is this SPF 50? Sports sunscreen.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, we don't fuck around. What's the difference? What is the difference between sports sunscreen and like regular sunscreen?
Is it like just thicker in consistency because you're getting a bit sweaty? So you might be wondering why beachy vibes for today. Mm. Out of all the days in the series of Behind the Bays, we are dressed in beachy vibes because in episode 6 of Byron Bays, we have a beach party as our main event.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the best episodes because we get to see everyone come together. A lot of shit gets thrown into the metaphorical fan. And you say like people are probably wondering why we're dressed like this. I don't think people would have that many questions.
This is just normal behavior for us, really.
They get it.
So before we jump into the juicy content of the episode, we thought we'd start off with a little bit of a game. One of the main themes that we see in episode 6 of Byron Bay is there's a bit of gaslighting, there's a bit of secrets, there's a bit of lying going down. So what better game to do than two truths, one lie?
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I've shared all of the most intimate details of my life with Star, but as always, you have to withhold some details.
A magician never shares their secrets.
I have been described as a magician many times. I'm going to give you two truths and a lie, and I just need you to figure out which one
is
the lie.
I can't see your eyes right now because you're wearing goggles and I literally can't see your eyeballs, so I feel like I'm already at a loss.
Yeah, it's like you're talking to a lizard.
Can you do a little...
Not Yoshi.
Yoshi is back.
Yoshi, God, what a reference.
All right, two truths, one lie. Let's go, Lucky Mac.
Okay, here are my three truths, or so we think.
Mm.
As a young child, I was hit in the face with a door by Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
When competing in cross country in high school, I had to stop and take a piss on the side of the course. Lastly,
I hope you weren't wearing those pants. They look a bit tight.
Lastly, before we did this podcast, I did not know who Star McGowan was.
Heavy. Okay. Mm. Hugh Jackman pissing in the cross country and having no fucking clue who I am. Alrighty. I am going to go. Okay. I'm going to tell you what I think is true. I'm going to pay the cross country.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you're running long distance. Maybe you were a bit silly when you were younger. You didn't stop to go to the bathroom and your mum's like, Lachlan, do you need to go to the toilet?
That's quite, I mean,
I'm fine, mum. Fuck off. I want to do my race.
That's exactly how I speak to my mother.
So, that's true. Okay. Now it's between Hugh Jackman and whether or not you knew who I was. I'd just like to clarify, Lockie, I have followed you for over a year. I definitely knew who you were. I'm there liking the content, engaging. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, great stuff. You know, just supporting
fans.
The queens in the industry. Hugh Jackman hitting you in the face with the door.
Yep.
I'm going to say that's the lie. I'm going to say you had no fucking idea who I was before this podcast.
It's very interesting. I can confirm that Hugh Jackman did hit me in the face with a door as a child.
Wait, are you serious?
I was working as a child actor at the time.
Like fuck very, off, this is
very,
not true.
Very small role. And I got the chance to meet him and I walked up to his trailer and I was told to go knock on his door. And I was probably like 6 years old at the time, so I was quite young.
So a young Wolverine.
A young Wolverine. And I woke up and before I could knock on the door swung open and hit me in the face.
No, you're bullshitting.
And out of the door came Hugh Jackman. And he signed an autograph for me as well. That's a true story.
Is this actually true?
It's a true story.
Take off your goggles. I need to see your eyes.
That's a true story.
Are you serious?
Hit me in the face. And then...
You got smacked up by Wolverine.
Yeah, he was really nice about it though. It was like a walk-on thing where I was meant to walk up to his car, knock on the car window... And he would tell me to go away and that was it. And the reason it happened was they cast a guy from New Zealand and he had to go back to New Zealand. So like day before they were like, do you want to do it? And literally it was going to be my like shoulder and my arm just like knocking his window. And that would have been it. Scene never got done. That's why I got to go meet him afterwards because they never filmed it. So like, do you want to go meet the actors? I'm like, I don't care.
So you got hit in the face with a door by Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
That is the most iconic story ever.
Yeah.
Wait, so you did know who I was? Did you do two lies?
What?
It's meant to be two truths.
No, I didn't know who you were before we did the podcast.
Oh, I thought...
Until they floated the idea of Star McGowan and I was like, who is Star McGowan?
Well.
And the thing was, I knew you in a way as in I recognized your face and I'd seen your videos, but I hadn't put Star McGowan to the face.
I didn't quite make the cut.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sorry, unfortunate. But just like you didn't make the cut with Hugh Jackman.
The good news is I didn't piss on the side of the running track when we did cross country. So that's good news
oh
for me.
Oh, God. That is the lie out of all of those stories.
That's the lies, yeah. I thought you would have got that. Because
no.
Before you were like, oh, you could do something to do with like, you know, school and cross country. I was like, I'll go with that, cross country.
I just thought it made sense. I don't know. You really had me. The Hugh Jackman threw me off. I didn't think that this man sitting next to me would have got hit in the face by Hugh Jackman's trailer door.
Yeah, six-year-old me wasn't expecting that either when it happened. But I'd like to say that TikTok was doing me dirty for the longest time by not giving me more Star McGowan content. Because now that I do know her, one of the loveliest human beings.
Oh, stop it.
So nice. Guys, if you hear some rubber like pulling hair off, that's me taking my swim cap off because I can't do this anymore.
Oh, that is looking red.
Yeah, that'd be pretty red.
You look like you had about 500 units of Botox in your face now, but you've aged a bit after taking that swimming cap off. So welcome back.
Thanks, man.
It's great to have you.
It's good to be in my 40s.
How's the blood flow going?
Yeah, I can hear colours at the moment, so it's going pretty well. Fucking hell.
Hugh Jackman, are you my daddy?
Yeah, this is the concussion left over from Hugh Jackman. Jesus. Hugh, if you're listening, I don't hold any hard feelings, man. We're all good. We're G's.
All right, Lucky. So let's get into the actual episode of Byron Bays, which is what we're here for.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
Now
as well.
That we've aired our dirty laundry, let's move on. But we'll be talking when the mics turn off later.
Yeah.
So we start off episode 6 with what we got left with last time. We got left with a bit of a cliffhanger at the mermaid party, and now we are straight back into it. The last thing we saw at the end of the last ep was we were left with a bit of a cliffhanger. It was Ella and Saskia telling Sarah to leave. They were being bitches.
That's a strong word to use. Can we also give it to the Byron Bay editors? They are doing so much better with the cliffhangers now.
I know. They really improved from episode 1 where it was just like, what the fuck are we watching?
It
and
ended.
Now we're like, yes, give us more.
Yeah, it'd end and you'd just be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well. That was that.
You know when you get the screen on Netflix and it's like, are you still watching? And you can see your reflection and you just look fucked on the black screen. You're like, yes, I'm still watching. I'm a piece of shit, okay?
Leave me alone. It's been a long day. But yeah, we get left with, you know, Sarah was contemplating whether she should be leaving or not.
Yep.
And then Saskia and Elle have a bit of a chat. And look, I think we can't confirm, but I'm pretty sure some savvy bees were flowing. There was a couple of vodkas going around, a couple of gin and tonics.
Couple of brewskis.
Yeah, I can't confirm that either that or like some of the people in this show just don't like having the last two letters at the end of words. You're meant to be my best friend. That kind of vibe.
I did definitely pick up a bit of slurring and a few people looked, for lack of a better phrase, off their heads.
Yeah, look, they're adults. They can do what they want, but all in all, that's going to be, I think the producers have been rubbing their hands at that, thinking like, no, guys, don't have another Savvy B. That's going to cause so much drama. But we actually did have Sarah decide that she was going to leave because she could hear basically everyone talking shit about her. And we had Sarah on the podcast, which was absolutely lovely. So I like the fact that she was like, you know what, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. Alex stuck with her, left with her, and they jumped in that soccer mum minivan as well.
Those two are becoming a bit of a dynamic duo, and it's good because we love Sarah. She's our absolute Byron Bay queen, so it's really great to see people sticking up for her when she's in these continuously unfavorable situations. It just seems like everybody in Byron Bay has it out for Sarah. Do you think that is fair?
I think there's a fair few of them who have it out for her. It was nice to see, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it was nice to see Nathan sticking up for her, like going over. Something I have noticed about Nathan, I didn't understand what it was. Where I'm like, why is it so awkward listening to him talk? He speaks with his hands. Like he's almost doing his own version of sign language just in case people can't like hear what he's saying. He has his arms a lot.
Nathan is a passionate king, and he is very expressive. And I really like seeing him stick up for Sarah too. I thought that was some king behavior going on. Mm-hmm. What I didn't like, however, is when he referred to Sarah as his main squeeze. I think I'd like to start a petition to cancel the phrase main squeeze. When was the last time you have ever used that? And I'm being expressive right now because I want to bring a bit of Nathan energy into the room.
I didn't know what you were saying until you started throwing your arms around.
Oi, oi.
But no, it was cool that he was doing it. But yeah, I don't think I've ever referred to someone as a main squeeze. Like, because that in my head, that conjures up the idea of that like annoying person at a party who comes up to you and puts their arm around, like pulls you, and they're like, oh, this guy is one of the best blokes you'll ever meet. And you're like, dude, we played footy together for a season. Like that's what I think of as main squeeze or orange juice.
Okay, yeah. I can see where you're going with that. Squeeze, you squeeze oranges.
She's my little orange juice.
She's my main squeeze.
She's pulpy. Like,
it's just a bit cringe, isn't
it? Yeah, I think, and it's funny that he uses that when he's like passionately defending her. Like, usually be like, that's my girlfriend, man. Come on.
Yeah.
That's my wife.
That's my main squeeze. I just think Elle is up me because Sarah's my new main squeeze.
Guys, that's my honey bun. That is my honey bun. That is my chocolate droplet. Oh, how dare you?
Some beautiful pet names coming out of your mouth, Lockie. Please do tell. What is your go-to pet name when you have a main squeeze?
I mean, I'm pretty good with just like the babe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty chill with the babe, but usually it's whatever the girl's name is, I'll find a nickname that she like that relates to her name that she doesn't like. Like give me any female name.
Sarah.
Says. Like if they didn't like that, and then I would, but then I would like mold it even further. I'd be like, Snez. And then I would call her Sneeze. See, it doesn't make any sense, but for me it's fun because if I'm in a room and I yell out Sneeze, she's the only one who's going to hear that and be like, yeah, that's my boyfriend.
Or it might be someone who has hay fever and they're like, Sneeze. And then they're about to sneeze.
Just announcing it. Do you do that?
Sometimes. You know I'm an allergies girl.
Yeah, what kind of sneezer are you? You're like a...
In the studio, I try to compress my sneezes, which might come back to bite me in the ass one day if my head explodes, but I don't want to be sneezing all over you.
Dude, you were doing an Ariana Grande sneeze, like the sleeves over your hands. Like.
While we're on pet names, I have something that I need to share. The one pet name that is just an absolute no-go for me is the word bub.
Bub.
Yeah, I'm traumatized by that word.
Like bubba?
No. Mm-mm.
What does it remind you of, like Bubba Gump shrimp?
Hubba Bubba. Every time I see Hubba Bubba, I'm like,
oh, please get away from me. Why Bub? What's wrong with that?
My ex used to call me Bub. I just hate it. What about Bay? How do we feel about Bay?
Bay, no, absolutely not. If someone was like, yeah, that's my Bay, I'd be like, what are you, 14?
Do you remember when Bay was like the word a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Bay.
Yeah, well, apparently no one told the producers that it's no longer a thing.
Do you reckon that it started because someone went to write babe and then they just did like a bit of a typo, like an autocorrect moment? You know when you write fucking and it goes to ducking?
Yeah, I don't swear, so that doesn't happen for me a lot. If I'm writing ducking, I'm legitimately talking about ducking. Yeah.
Oi, oi, watch out.
Sorry, guys, just ducking around here.
Duck off. I'm just ducking off.
Guys, sorry, I've just told my duck to leave. I have a pet duck. It's a thing. Sorry's really going off the fucking rails, isn't it? I think bae is just, we're just rewarding laziness. Like it was the word of the year and people like bae, you can't say baby. I blame Justin Bieber.
Oh, why?
Well, he brought out that song Baby and I think towards the end, He's like just saying babe, but he's saying it lazily.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe where they got it from.
Justin, get your shit together, mate.
Hey, Justin, if you ever want to come on the podcast.
Hey, Bieber.
Yeah, look, we know you're a big listener of the podcast, man. Yeah, no, I don't know. Pet names like are kind of weird for me. I try to use like a nickname for the girl.
Mm.
But yeah, usually it's something they don't like anyway.
What about when someone actually just says your name?
Like my full name? Like Lachlan?
Yeah, Lachlan.
Yeah, that freaks me
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's super weird, right?
Because super Scottish, so it kind of feels like Braveheart, Lachlan. Like calling me up for battle. Lachlan. And it's not like, it's a harsh sounding word. It's yeah. That Lachlan is in the throat. Lachlan.
You know, in some movies, how they always, as part of the script, they'll always get the characters to say the name of the other person. So that's like, you know who they're talking to in the conversation, but it's mm-hmm. just always excessive. So it'd be like, if I was like, hi Lachlan. So Lachlan, we're going to be talking about episode 6 of Behind the Bays, Lachlan.
And the audience is like, I think.
Wait, who the fuck is Lachlan?
Who's she talking to? The fuck is this guy?
Yeah. I feel like you should have a pet name for me now.
A pet name. Oh, I mean, like Star's already pretty good, isn't it? Well, that's just
Am
your
I
name.
Am I not worthy of a your pet name?
You ever watched Starsky and Hutch? You know, that old cop
I'm
show?
I'm aware of the movie, but I feel like I watched the one with Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller, like yeah. the shitty remake.
Well, that's all I know. There you go, Starsky.
Starsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There you go, man.
I'll pay that.
I'll find something for you. McGowan. There's got to be something there. What's Mark McGowan. There we go. Got your new nickname.
Mark McGowan.
Well done. WAPM Star McGowan.
So there's an actress named Rose McGowan. She was mm-hmm. like in Charmed. You do remember that show Charmed?
I do actually.
It was
actually.
Like super popular. When I was in primary school, I used to like tell people that she's like my auntie because it's like Rose McGowan, Star McGowan. So mm-hmm. it's just, that's an example of a little lie that I've told in my life. And we know that a lot of the Byron Bays have been telling lies lately too.
They
so
have.
I'm out there telling everyone that Rose McGowan is my auntie and I'm going to be seeing her at family Christmas.
I did the same thing with Michael McIntyre. I told everyone that.
Who is that?
A British comedian, Michael McIntyre.
A British comedian?
A British comedian, yeah, Michael McIntyre. I used to say he was my like my uncle.
You're just copying me now. We're not playing two truths, one lie anymore, Lachlan.
So I also have 7 siblings. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
But I think it's good that we're opening up being honest because, you know, it amongst all these lies, it's good to see fucking Alex and Jade finally just speaking, getting it all out there. Because, right, okay, it was entertaining at first. It's just exhausting now.
Yeah,
like, sort
yeah.
your shit.
I feel like we're... Wow. I feel like we're heading towards the end of the season when we want to start seeing a few resolutions. We've had the peak of the conflict and hopefully things will start to take a turn and we'll have a nice, big, happy ending. So there was obviously Alex questioning Jade about his followers. He had a big following coming from Turkey. I just love that the way that they went about resolving this conflict was Alex going to Jade's house. And what was his peace offering when he was there?
I believe it was a bottle of Grey Goose vodka.
Bottle of Grey Goose.
But you know what the great thing was? That whole scene was about them resolving their issues. They didn't do shit.
No,
they
didn't.
Sat there and they were like, look, and like Jade talked about his upbringing, then Alex talked about his upbringing, and then they were like, let's get smashed. And I was like, you didn't talk about anything. You didn't resolve shit.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in that conversation to see A, what got cut out and B, like what actually went down when they were there. It kind of felt like Alex was setting up his villain origin story a little bit because he's saying, Jade, I'm just like you. I had red hair when I was younger.
Yeah. Big surprise that Alex was a ranger back in the day. I didn't know that. I want to see a photo of that now.
Well, he's got some fantastic highlights now, so I wonder where he gets his hair done.
Definitely not the same place I get mine done. Look at this shit at the moment. Nah, shout out. They did a good job. Yeah, do you reckon they got smashed afterwards? Because Jade didn't seem that keen.
Well, Alex was definitely keen. I think he literally said, let's get smashed. And yeah. Jade was like, no.
He'd already poured himself a drink. But also you noticed that Jade said he'd been doing social media for 10 years.
That's a long time.
Was Instagram around 10 years ago?
I think it was, but I feel like Instagram back in the day was really different. Like, I don't know if you were actually of age to have social media then, because you might have been in kindergarten or something. But back in the day, Lachlan.
How young do you think I am?
You've got your year 6 fucking rashy on.
It's just came from the swim carnival.
Come straight from the pool. Mum's taking me to get Macca's on the way home.
Fuck yeah. I was going to say a couple of key takeaways from this conversation where they apparently solved everything. Jade told Alex, and I quote, I was ready to stab you in the neck. Which, like, when I'm resolving something, I usually explain to the person how I would have murdered them. That's a big part of finding common ground for me. I'm like, I would have hit you with my car. What would you have done?
Yeah, look, Jade is a very, very passionate human. And we've seen that come through a lot of times. Stabbing in the neck, probably a little bit aggressive. Yeah, I think we can agree that that's maybe a little bit TF, right?
A little bit overboard. But also, I think something that we can share with Jade is the fact that he said, my followers are my best friends.
Oh, that was sweet.
That's really sad.
I mean, that's an interesting point because we both are content creators. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. Are your followers your best friends?
Like we're like colleagues. We're like close acquaintances.
Like you do the awkward smile when you see them in the hallway. Like,
yeah. Like, hey guys, get those reports done. But Star was talking to me earlier. She was like, oh, you know, my followers are like family. I would do anything for them. And she wanted me to read out. So this is Star's phone number if anyone wants to call her.
Fuck off.
Guys, if you want to call Star at any time, have a chat with her, tell her how much she means to you, that's her public phone number. So
welcome to the Behind the Bays hotline.
No, but genuinely, like, it's a weird dynamic because I've always thought of, like, followers as being, like, a bunch of friends that you've never met before.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get the people who comment on stuff a fair bit. It's interesting because it's always nice to have that support and it's cool, especially from strangers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you do. You build a bit of a community and, like, you build up, like, a parasocial relationship. So people really feel like they know you. But sometimes that can take a turn for the worse, unfortunately. So I respect the fact that Jade appreciates his followers. And he's obviously built a loyal community. Half of them are in Turkey, but, yeah. You know, get it, bestie.
Hey, long distance relationships can work if you put the work in. And I hope that, you know, all the people over in Turkey are able to find that connection with Jade regardless.
If someone brought you a bottle of Grey Goose as a peace offering, would you be sweet with that? Or would you expect something like a little bit better?
Fuck no, I hate vodka, man.
Do you?
Yeah, no, it sucks. I had one bad experience with it when I was of a legal drinking age. And I was like, I can't touch it now. Like, even if I do, it's just like, I'll do a shot with a friend and I'll be like 4 minutes of standing at the bar doing like breathing exercises and meditating so I don't throw up.
Everybody has that one drink that has, that they just can't drink anymore. For me, it's Apple Smirnoff.
Apple Smirnoff, like the, like vodka Smirnoff, or is it like a mixer?
No, like a bottle of Smirnoff that's apple flavored. Yeah. Trigger warning, Apple Smirnoff. I was too of legal drinking age and maybe got a bit silly with the Apple Smirnoff, and now the smell or even the thought of it, I'm just like,
oh, dude, I can't do it. I mean, if you bring me tequila, maybe some gin, I'm all about it. You bring me a case of beer. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. It's really cool of you. Thanks, Star's mum, for bringing that over. But vodka, no.
So do we think that any of the Byron Bays are turned off ceremonial cacao forever after the ceremony with Simba? Or do you reckon they're like, get me another one?
Well, based on the stories that Sarah was telling us, I don't think many of them were really drinking the ceremonial cacao. I think a lot of it was a couple of mixes in there, maybe some apple Smirnoff.
Some sneaky gin out of Sarah's handbag.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of sneaky gins in there. But it was a nice gesture, especially if he likes vodka. But for me, we'd still have beef.
So if we ever had beef between the two of us.
We do.
Yeah, well, after this fucking episode, we certainly do, mate. We'll be having a conversation in the car park later. Oh, excuse the reference.
What a segue. Guys, get out of the way because here comes Mall Cop Star on her segue.
What?
That's a double entendre because a segue can
be. A double entendre.
A double entendre.
Because a segue, like a segue and then like a beep beep.
Yeah, that was segue. A long-winded bad metaphor from me. Yes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to let Star talk.
So, because we have beef, what would be the one thing that I could bring to you as a peace offering? I know we've spoken about alcohol. You don't want vodka. What would you actually want to receive from me if we had like a proper unch on?
Just your respect. I would want, like Julius Caesar said, lend me your ears.
That's boring. What do you want? Listen. What do you want from me, Lachlan?
Just a shout out. I'm happy with a shout out. I'm good with a shout out, like at least two stories worth.
My top favorite accounts that I follow.
And then I'd be cool with that. Case of Carlton Dry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
Oh, peace offering for me. I would like a handwritten card, please. I know you're not a big words of affirmation kind of guy, but I am very big on expressing things. And we know this because I sent you a nice message earlier in the week and you were like, oh.
Yeah, no. Star sent me a very nice message about working like on the podcast together. And my response was like, cool, mate. See you at work.
I'm not just thumbs up. Yeah, on your champion. That's
just
good.
Just the like reaction. It's like when you text your dad being like, happy Father's Day, one of the best dads I've ever had. And he just replies back, dinner's ready.
One of the best dads I've ever had.
One of the best. Dad, Andrew, if you're listening, you're one of the best. You're a top three at least.
All right, Lucky, let's get back to the Byron Bays. Two of our favorite bubble boys have an iconic scene in this episode, and it opens with Elias giving big Sons of Anarchy energy as he rides in on a motorbike. I didn't even know that he drove one. Rode one?
Yeah.
Drove it?
Oh, Elias,
I don't know.
Elias rides.
Look, TBH, he looked pretty hot because he had the leather jacket. He's like, ew.
That shit was fucking hilarious, dude.
It was so cringe.
It was so funny because even the motorbike he had, like, I don't know what it was. I think it was a little bit too big for him because he was just like really reaching for the handlebars. But dude, that was fucking hysterical. Like, the punk royalty-free music in the background,
yes.
All these montage photos. And you just know that they set up the cameras and we're like, all right, Elias, drive past. And then all the camera crew's like, all right, just wait up. Wait, just break. We're coming back. Dude, that was so – and then the cuts – it was these epic shots of him riding his motorbike and then the cuts between Nathan standing at his ute looking like he's out of a fucking Toyota Hilux commercial.
Poor Nathan, he gets a fucking family ute and then Elias comes in, daddy on his motorbike, and then Nathan's just like, hey.
You know, look like that Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg movie, Daddy's Home.
Yeah.
When Will Ferrell's standing out the front in his sweater being like, all right, bye kids. And Mark Wahlberg rocks up on a motorbike. Dude, it was so funny and it surpassed expectations.
So, Lockie, let's put ourselves in old mate Nate's shoes for a hot second. Mm-hmm. If you were Nate and you're there at this interaction with Elias, what are you going to bring up first? You're going to say, oi, oi, why'd you call me a fuckboy? Why are you trying to steal my bird? Or is there anything else that jumps out at you?
Well, I think Nate being Nate, he needs to bring up that fucking Instagram story.
Not the Instagram.
The black and white slow-mo of Elias just laying in some left hooks, couple of right uppercuts, a left overhand.
Doing a couple of combos.
Doing a couple of combos. Just coming in the boxing ring.
Doing a couple of combos in the ring.
Oh, it was good to see. Reminded me of my days back in Wii Sports Boxing when you kind of didn't.
When the Wii tells you that you're obese.
Remember all 11 and told us we're obese? That was great.
In case you missed it, Elias posted an absolutely tragic and extremely dramatic set of Instagram stories that one might think were targeted towards Nathan. Those were definitely the vibes that I picked up from the Instagram stories.
I mean, people on Byron Bay's targeting one another with subliminal messages across social media. It doesn't sound like them.
Have you ever put out an Instagram story or anything on social media for one person to see with like a bit of sneaky messaging?
Yep, absolutely.
What have you done? Tell me.
Post-breakup, you know, I had the songs playing. And I think
classic.
Yeah, that's the classic one. I forget what the song was, but it was just one of those cringy ones of like, so much better off without my ex. And I was at home being like, so it wasn't really proving much. But there's always the ones where like, you know, after you're with someone, you break up, then you're like posting a photo with someone hot.
Yeah, oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so you do that. I had a friend who did that and he posted a photo with someone and it was like this very beautiful girl. I was like, oh, bro, you're already moving on. He's like, it's my cousin, don't tell anyone.
If that was Nate, he'd try and slide right on in there.
Yeah, so is a second cousin or is it blood related?
I think the other classic example of the sneaky poster photo directly for someone to see would be the thirst trap, right? We've all done it. We've all been guilty of posting a sexy photo just waiting for that one person to see it.
But what are we expecting? Do we want them to be like, you look so hot? We'd be like, thank you. Can I come back now? Like, I just never get the thirst trap thing.
You just want the validation. You want like at least a fire emoji at minimum. Give me a story reaction. And if you don't, fuck off. Target someone else with the thirst traps then.
Exactly. But I think the best thing about a thirst trap is you have to have the right caption.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Elias is bloody, he's nailed it. The first one says, just biding my time. He's patient. Oh, he's willing. He's waiting. He's just, he's taking his time. But wait, the next Instagram story.
God, what was it?
Says, but it's inevitable.
Oh my God.
What are you, fucking Thanos?
Yeah.
Like, that, anyone who's seen Marvel, that is a fucking hilarious joke.
I am inevitable.
Like, he should have turned up. He should have turned up to the meeting with Nathan with like the Infinity Gauntlet glove, painted himself purple. He should have done the whole get up. But what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? Oh. At least they talked in person.
Yeah.
And not much got done.
No, it was, was it a constructive conversation? I don't really think so. It seemed like Elias wasn't really ready to have the conversation, or he wasn't going to take any responsibility for anything that he'd said because he didn't see an issue with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, my biggest issue was they just came out firing with each other. Like they were just, the fuckboy thing just got brought up. And it's hard to take a guy seriously when he's arguing in jeans and sandals. Like, your whole time you're just like, yeah, bro, I can't stop looking at your toes. I'm really sorry.
You need a pedicure.
You need to put some enclosed footwear on.
I think you
on.
Need to see a podiatrist because it looks like you have an ingrown.
I need you to treat this like a McDonald's playground and put some enclosed footwear on right now. It was just, yeah, but it's unfortunate. But I think we've finally seen the very first breakup of Byron Bays.
Oh, the boys have broken up just like One Direction. We see this iconic duo.
Who's the Zayn?
Surely Elias. Does that make Nathan Harry?
Or is Sarah the Yoko Ono of this group?
Oh.
Did I just call the Byron Bays cast the Beatles?
Yeah.
I take that back. Jesus Christ. Do you know what I have noticed? Elias' jaw doesn't move when he speaks.
He does have a very prominent jaw.
It's like he looks like the Cheshire Cat. Like he's permanently smiling.
He could definitely play Tarzan or something like that. Those are definitely the vibes that I get.
Yeah, we'll get onto his body because Jesus Christ, when he took his shirt off at the beach, I mean, I try to go to the gym as much as I can, but when I saw that, I was like, nah, I'm gonna
And be. He was like being really cheeky. He was wearing a towel and then he like started pulling it down. I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
what am I watching here again?
It was very close. Byron Bays, more like.
Byron Slays.
Oh, that was good. I didn't have anything. Nice work. I had nothing for that. We were going to be sitting in silence. But unfortunate, they couldn't resolve their issues. But, you know, there's still time left. Hopefully the boys can patch it up. And one day we can have another scene where Nathan walks in, he gives an oi oi, Elias looks over, he gives an oi oi, and then they just laugh about the day.
Do you reckon they just need to have a big old bro hug?
I just, you know what they need? They need Alex to bring a bit of vodka. They need to both get drunk and do the whole bro. Yeah, I love you. I love you, my best friend.
We've had some shit, bro, but I fucking love you.
No, you, this guy, this guy is my favorite. You know, can we get another shot?
Boys, come on. If Alex and Jade can sort out their shit, surely you guys can.
Yeah, let's be adults about this, right?
So Nathan is getting a lot of screen time in the later episodes of Byron Bays. I low-key feel like he is becoming a main character. So we see Sarah and Nathan go on a little date. And I must admit, I still feel a little uncomfortable when I see them kissing. I'm not used to it yet, especially because we had Sarah here a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know at that point. That was going to happen. So I'm just feeling a little bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mum and dad are kissing.
It might be also the fact that we've talked colossal amounts of shit about Nathan. And then we're like, she gets him. We're like, how shit is he? And she's like, yeah, no, he's cool. But yeah, it was very weird to see them kissing, especially in a public area as well. But they were speaking about Elle, and Nathan brought up an excellent point that Elle had shared with him.
Oh, God.
She said that, and I quote, if you try to fuck me, I'll fuck you 10 times harder. Now, first of all, the phrasing, I feel like fuck with me would have been better phrasing.
Yeah.
But like, I think Nathan got confused and Elle's just literally saying that to him.
It was, it's a strong choice of words. Yeah. Certainly.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Like who says that? I've never heard someone be like very specifically, like not 2 times harder, not even 6, 10. That's so hard.
That's very hard.
That's so hard.
Very hard, very long, very hard. It feels a bit more like foreplay to me than a threat. Like it's a very specific choice of words. And especially considering Elle's track record with how she speaks about Nath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even when she's telling him off, she's also just flirting with him. Like Nath, you left the toilet seat up. We can't have this thing open just like my heart and my arms are for you, all right? We can't keep doing this, right? You need to stop watching that TV. You're as devoted to it as you are, as I am to you, right?
What are some things you can say to your housemate that you can also say in the bedroom?
How much do I owe you this week? Do you mind if my friend comes to stay with us? We've got an inspection this week.
Fucking hell, have you done this before?
No.
Lachlan, put your swimming cap back on because we are going to the beach. That is right, people. The Byron Bays had a bit of a shindig. Oh, you actually put your swimming cap on.
You told me to. You said my full name.
A bit of a shindig at the beach. Very Byron-esque. There were a few drinkies floating around. Everyone's kitted out to the nines in their beach fits.
Yeah, it was good to see everybody getting together. And obviously, you know, Sarah's still upset about the whole shit-talking thing about being called fake. And so she goes to Alex. She talks to Alex about it. Alex tries to comfort her. And then he goes, where'd you hear that from? And he goes, oh, you know, Jess was saying some stuff. And then Alex, conniving little devil that he is, goes up to Jess, this unsuspecting little rabbit. And the fox comes in and he goes, hey, man, was Elle calling Sarah fake? And she just goes, yeah.
Straight up, eh?
And I love that they cut back to him and he just like clicks. He's like, gotcha.
He's like, excellent.
It's really interesting that you would say that. And then we're all waiting for Elle to turn up. There's rumors that she's not going to come at all. And then she makes the grand, you know, the theatrical entrance.
How awkward were the shots of Elle? It was like focusing on something else and then it would zoom to her in the background. It's just like the villain has arrived. She has entered. The music changes. They're telling us exactly what we need to feel.
Yeah, I don't even think the music is necessary because obviously they're trying to make us feel a certain way, but I think we can kind of come to that conclusion on our own. Look, Elle, we know you hear some of this and it's okay. Look, if you just not lied, that would be cool. But hey, it's time to own your shit. Jess told you had to own your shit. Saskia told you had to own your shit. Alex told you had to own your shit. I believe Sarah told you had to own your shit. I mean, if you spent more time owning your shit than pretending to be a mermaid, maybe there wouldn't be as many issues. But that's just me. If you want to come and rebuttal that, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
So then we have one of the most iconic moments of this whole episode, the interaction between Jess, Alex, and Elle. And what we previously just mentioned about Alex checking in with Jess about whether or not there was a conversation floating around where Sarah got called fake. Guess what? We just spoke about owning your shit, and now is the time.
Yeah, it's time to put a deposit down on that poop you just took. She's going to own that shit. And the best thing was Alex already knew. He had a script. He knew what he was saying. He just goes up to Elle and goes, do you call Sarah fake? She goes, no, of course not. Totally out of character for me. I'm like expounding on what she would have said. But no, mate, no, of course not. And then he just so casually, I don't think I've laughed harder at anything in this show where he just turns to Jess and goes, oh, well, she said you did.
It was iconic.
Fucking beautiful. And Jess just goes, like, because I had the subtitles on, I remember all she said was like, and then it was nothing. And then Elle just having a go at it. I was like, Alex, fucking dropping grenades and just being like, mate, you guys can deal with that.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, way to throw me under the bus. It was just so funny to watch. You could just tell that she had no fucking idea that that was coming. Like, she had said that to Alex, not even giving it a second thought. Like, oh, yeah, that happened. And then it was just so funny to see it all unravel. It's like you could just see the small changes in her face as she was processing what was happening because Elle was ready to fire.
Dude, that dead set, the funniest thing I've seen on the show. Because Alex just, he didn't even stick around for the conversation. He's like, yep, see you later. And then Jess is trying to back herself up being like, well, you're the one who shit talks the most, mate. And that's how I knew she was panicking. She started using like mate.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know those people who get like progressively more bogan when they're panicking?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, mate, you don't even get the good rub of the green sometimes.
Like, yeah, nah, but like, you know, that thing that was like, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, jog on, you bloody.
Rack off.
You bloody galah. You bloody yahoo.
Rack off your mole.
You long-haired yahoos. You.
What the fuck is a yahoo?
Yeah, you're a bloody yahoo is what you are.
Well, you're a yowie.
Oh, fuck, what's a yowie?
It's a chocolate with a prize inside. Actually, what? No, you're not.
What the fuck's he? That's not a thing. Yowie.
Do you not know what a yowie is?
No, I'm 14. I don't know what that is. This fight was just hilarious because it just worked so perfectly. No one could really defend themselves. It was all out in the open. But can we just bring up one thing? For a beach party, these idiots brought a megaphone.
Yeah, what the fuck was with that? That was so random.
That's just annoying.
When I saw the megaphone, that was the first time I'd actually agreed with the anti-Byron Bay's protesters. I was like, yeah, I get it now. Why the fuck would you bring a megaphone to the beach? Oi, oi, how you going?
Oh, dude, imagine having to hear oi, oi from like 400 feet away. Oh. It's just so obnoxious to be playing the sirens. Frimo hasn't done anything. And then he's like, this is my time to shine. And like starts blasting this thing along the beach. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Go back to your boutique airline.
Frimo's on schoolies. He's letting loose with the boys.
Frimo's a toolie. But I love the fact that we had a 5-second cutaway to Simba sitting on a beach chair next to Elle doing nothing, glasses on, probably high on shrooms, just chilling out. Yeah, Simba just chilling out. And that was all he did for the whole episode.
Seems like Simba's gotten into Elle's medicinal mushrooms that we heard about earlier in the show.
Yeah, well, those aren't the kind of mushrooms you can buy at Woolies. But you can buy them from my neighbour.
Simba. So,
that's a joke. Simba. He's not a drug dealer. He's 70.
Simba was seeing colours, and if there were certain colours flying around, I think we'd have green, because there's definitely a bit of jealousy happening amongst the group. How good was that segue?
That was Jesus Christ. Do more colours.
And a bit of red too, because a lot of anger. Once Elle found out that Jess had said something behind her back, she's angry. She's mad. Her and Jess have been friends for years, and she made a point of telling us that.
Yeah, well, do you know what the funny thing was? Everyone was saying, like, she's jealous of Nath. And I'm like, if she's jealous, that's just disloyalty because she has a boyfriend. Yeah. Like, if she's talking about, like, I'm just jealous that he has Sarah now. It's like, you're in a relationship, homie. Like, straighten your shit.
Poor Stav.
Yeah, what's Stav doing? Like, why was he not invited to the beach? Like, I bet you he got dressed up exactly like me. He had his floaties on because he's a bit of a smaller guy. He had his zinc on, his cap on, and he's like standing at the door ready to go. And I was like, get back inside and make another mermaid.
Stav is watching on Magnetic Island on FaceTime. He's just like, oh, I would have loved to go to the beach.
You stand there with binoculars. Is that? Oh, look, she looks so nice from, like, just, Date him, because then we found out a little juicy detail, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
About
all right. So we've seen Elle go off multiple times. What are you doing? He just rose from the dead.
It's a dramatic rise.
Welcome back. So we've seen Elle go off multiple times over this series about Nathan. Clearly, very protective. And at first, we thought, "Fucking pull your head in, mate. Why are you freaking out so much over your housemate?" Yeah. And then we discovered something very interesting in this ep, didn't we?
Mm. Now, Nathan, we've seen during these makeout scenes, he's got quite a big mouth. But his big mouth just got even bigger when he let it slip to Saskia that him and Elle might have bloody had a little bit of a kiss.
Had a bit of a smooch.
And a little bit of smashing pasties a little bit.
A little bit of a patch.
Yeah, a little bit of a bloody waterworks. A little bit of the tongue propeller, hey? I am single. If anyone didn't realise.
So we know that Elle and Nath have kissed.
Had a little hookup, yeah.
The colour green, it's back. It's floating around. Maybe that is where the jealousy comes from. How do you think that changes things, Lockie?
Well, I think that's obviously left something unfinished for Elle. And maybe it could be because a lot of times you might hook up with someone once and then they suddenly aren't interested in you. So you might have this feeling of, oh, okay, now I'm more interested because they're done with me already. So it might be a case of this Elle wants what she can't have, which is strange because they're friends, they're roommates. Mm. And then Nathan's seeing Sarah, she's seeing Stav, but also like maybe she just does like him and maybe getting with Stav was a way to try to get past that. But there's no explaining her.
Yeah, look, we will never be able to confirm that unless the gorgeous Elle would like to come on the podcast. I just don't know if I really vibe with moving in with someone that you've hooked up with before. I don't know. Maybe it was just a harmless, cheeky little kiss, but it is quite clear that there are some things that have been left unresolved.
Can I ask? So you have a boyfriend, Star.
I do.
Yeah. I'm going to, without prying too much, you guys have hooked up.
We've kissed on the lips.
Okay.
And don't tell anyone.
And do you live together?
We don't. No.
You don't?
No, we don't. No.
Oh, I thought I was about to get you there. Shit.
No, I really like my space. I'm like, I am very independent and I like to have my own space. And then when we come together, that's nice. And also, I like to have my room organized and clean, and boys ruin that. So
gross. Yeah, exactly. But it's a good point. Moving in with someone you've hooked up with, especially if you're still interested in them, but you're having this like thing where we're like, oh, we're just friends. We're just a couple of buddies who live together.
Just a couple of buds exchanging, you know, saliva.
Hey, we just sit on the couch. We watch Pirates of the Caribbean. We clap when it finishes. Then we clap each other's cheeks. It's not a big deal. We're just a couple of friends.
What would Jack Sparrow do, bro? Come on.
Yeah, like, we do like the role play. It's not a big deal. I'm Davy Jones, obviously.
Ay, ay,
ay. What is that? Holy shit. That was your pirate impression?
It was oi oi ex-pirate.
That was, okay, yeah, that was
so
fucking
it was like
good.
Oi oi oi, but like ay, ay, ay.
It sounds like a white person trying to do that. Like Scottish
ay,
thing.
Ay, 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 ay.
Like a white guy being like, it sounds like my dad trying to do it. All right, Andrew, have a go. All right. Aye, aye, aye.
Aye, aye. The eyes have it.
The eyes.
So the way that old mate Nath revealed this big secret was in a conversation with Saskia, and his words were very specific. I quote, oi, oi, one drunk night ages ago, we ended up kissing.
When he talks, it's like when army people are like over and out, but instead he just says oi, oi. Yeah, a lot to unpack there. I mean, one drunk night. They were just kissing. Really?
A night fueled by passion and Carlton Dry.
Yeah. I mean, there was also the speculation that maybe it's happened on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love this thing that they're all doing where they're like, Byron is such a small town. Nothing stays a secret here for very long. And I'm like, you guys keep talking about how small this place is. They've shoved them all into this little corner of Byron Bay and they haven't let them out. Like, they've put up a fence and none of them can get out. They're like, yeah, it's so small. It's literally just our friend group, which is really weird.
And they're like, everyone kiss while you're in there.
Now kiss. Now kiss. Every time I see Simba and Elias doing boxing together, and they're both boys. But can we also give Elias a shout out for his insane Greek god body?
Yes.
Dude has a six pack that you could grate cheese on.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Hot bod.
Whoa, you're a married man. How dare you?
I reckon after a big night of drinking and smooching, Elle would probably need a bit of a detox smoothie. Oh, and to get one, she could have gone to Queen Jess, because we then moved to a scene of Saskia and Jess making detox smoothies together. And we learned that this is something that Jess has all the time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a detox for them, which is really nice. But we also find out that Saskia can't keep a secret for shit.
Yeah.
And immediately like spills the beans about Nathan and Elle. And Jess has my favorite line of hers so far, where she goes, the love triangle isn't necessarily between Sarah, Elias and Nathan, but between Elle, Sarah and Nathan.
I reckon she was pretty proud of herself for that one, eh?
Yeah, she was rehearsing that before she went out. That's like the 10th take. She was fucking up all the time. It's no longer Elias. It's no longer Simba, Kai and me. That's my fantasy.
She's like, fuck, who's the one with the chiseled abs? Is it Elias? I don't know.
They're all starting to look the same.
You know when you tell someone a secret or it's just something in confidence, right? And you're like, you can't tell anyone. Yep. Everybody has that one person that they're just going to go and tell anyway. Do you?
I'm pretty good with secrets, mostly because I forget about them.
I'm
like
pretty
10
good
minutes.
With secrets, eh? Like, I'm heaps trustworthy.
I'm heaps good, eh? Get home. How was the podcast? Yes, a star just told me this. No, the thing is, I don't like the responsibility of keeping other people's secrets. So people tell me and I just don't really listen to what they're saying.
Oh, that's good to know.
If it's about shit that I don't care about.
I don't actually care about anyone except myself and the boys.
I'm kind of a lone wolf. When you get into that Sigma male mindset, you kind of realize that secrets are just the coward's way of communicating. I speak through an ancient Viking tongue.
So we've had a lot of resolution or some resolution happen in this episode.
Yeah.
We are heading towards the end of the season and I'm actually not sure if any of our predictions have been anywhere near correct.
Yeah.
But I think it's time that we make some predictions for the rest of the season.
I think we should.
So do we think that Nath and Elias will make up, or is that the end of the boys? Are the mummy and daddy not getting back together?
I think they will somewhat resolve things. But it's like when you break a vase, you can put it back together, but you're still going to see those cracks.
Oh my God, that's so deep.
Yeah.
Who's the vase?
Their friendship.
Oh yeah, nice.
I stole that off the back of like a little tea bag thing.
Gonna say, I think I've seen that on like a tampon wrapper before.
Yeah, so I got bored and we ran out of magazines in my house. So I was just reading the back of the tampon.
And who will L fuck 10 times harder? That's the real question.
Me, I hope.
I think the real question here today is who will L fuck 10 times harder?
Socially, Sarah, I believe. I think like she wasn't really that angry. I think there was a bit of a simmering tension of like, well, Sarah and Nathan aren't going to work out, but they're starting to work out a little bit. So I think that might boil over a bit and she might have to turn the fucking scale up a couple notches.
Do we think they're still living together throughout this whole process, by the way? Like, how awkward is that when you, like, get up in the middle of the night to pee and you're like, oh, shit, we're actually fighting.
Like, yeah. Like, I can't imagine, like, trying to brush your teeth next to someone that you have beef with.
Yeah. It's just, like, you'd give them a little nudge or, like, kick them or something at least, right?
You're waiting until, like, they put their hand down the sink to wash and you just spit on it. Like, sorry, I was just trying to spit that into the sink. My bad.
Maybe toilet brush. No.
Oh,
maybe toothbrush in the toilet bowl.
Ooh,
don't get any ideas.
There we go. There's going to be the next episode. There's going to be a scene of Nathan brushing your teeth going, Colgate's not the same anymore. He's kind of fucked.
I feel a little bit furry. I don't know why.
Yeah, this is a bit shit.
I think I'm overdue for my 6-month checkup.
Jeez, might need to call me dentist right now. My teeth are falling out.
He's been smashing the high smile teeth whitening. Make sure you're following us on TikTok and on Instagram at Behind the Bays Pod for all the additional juicy content and obviously to see Lockie in his full getup for today.
Yeah, you'll want to see this. If you've ever seen like a cyclist ride past you and you thought that's a tight outfit, this is tighter.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Thanks for listening, guys. We will be back inside your ears next Tuesday at 5 p.m. with another episode of Behind the Bays. I'm Star.
I'm Lockie Mac.
Bye.
Byron Bays. Fuck me 10 times harder.